I've had it in my mind for a while now to develop a lesson targeted at the young people, in particular the teenagers. And the thought began along the lines or the idea of some things I wish someone had told me when I was young. And I thought, what are some lessons that I have learned in life that I wish I had known when I was just getting started, you know, maybe 12, 13 years old, things that would have been of great benefit to me. And I've settled on five of them tonight that I think would be of tremendous help in this regard. The title of the sermon has changed from a few things I wish someone had told me when I was a kid. And let me kind of develop where I went with this. Today, many people in our society are out of touch. We say out of touch with reality, but they're just out of touch with life and the way life really works. They have an idea in their mind about how they want things to happen. But if you just allowed that kind of thinking to flow to its logical conclusion, it would prove to be not very productive. In fact, destructive. And the last thing that we want to do is to be out of touch, not just with reality, but out of touch with life. The closer I can be in touch with life, in understanding it and how it operates and where I fit in to that picture, the better off I will be in developing a life and living a life that will be fruitful and productive. And so I've entitled this lesson tonight, Getting in Touch with Life. And I want to use the letters from the word touch to represent these five lessons that I think would be very helpful to you. So it should be real easy to remember. I think they are practical enough that you will be able to use this in life. And I'm going to give you a test afterwards in the foyer to make sure that you remember these things. Getting in touch with life. The first one, obviously, is the T. And I think it would be good to let the T represent the word talk. I would suggest to you in your young age that you learn to talk to people who know. And this is not a BDO commercial. You've probably seen that. This is something different than that. Talk to people who know. And gain from and glean the experience of other people older than you, people who have lived life and who've experienced it in much more detail than you have yet had opportunity to experience. I remember as a young person, especially in my teen years, having the perception of knowing everything. You couldn't tell me a lot, and that's the case if we're honest enough to admit it. That's something that teenagers deal with. We don't have a lot of patience. See, I'm trying to put myself in that category. We don't have a lot of patience to listen to people, and much less talk to them and find out what their perspective is. Looking back, I can see in a lot of instances where I thought I knew it, I was wrong. And I really needed some guidance there. It shouldn't surprise us that the Bible sends us in that direction of appreciating the value of experience that others have. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31, the Bible says, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. And you know, that idea of silver head is representative not just of age, but of experience and time that has passed on this earth, so that an individual, they've lived long enough to experience life. And it is true, it is a truth that there is nothing new under the sun. It's like a cycle, and things just come back around and repeat themselves. And there are people in your life who've experienced the things that you may be experiencing. They've probably seen it two or three times in their lifetime. They have a tremendous amount of experience. Job chapter 12 and verse 12 says, "Wisdom is with aged men, and with length of days there is understanding." And that's the thing about experience in life. We desperately need it, but the problem with it is that it comes with time. You don't just get it because you want experience. It takes time to develop it. And in a congregation like this, where there are people of every age range, there's experience at all different levels and at different age ranges that is available to you, available to me. It's interesting how when we get older in our adult years, we don't hesitate to turn to someone older than us and more experienced than us and ask them about those things. But for some reason, when we're younger, that switch hasn't flipped yet, and we don't see the value in talking to those who have such experience. When I go to Polishing the Pulpit every year that I have opportunity to go, there are a few sessions that I especially like, and they're called the graybeard sessions. And it's not intended to be derogatory in any fashion. It's kind of along the lines of Proverbs chapter 16 and Job chapter 12, where the men who have been preaching for a long time talk about lessons that they have gleaned in their preaching experiences. That's one of my, probably my most favorite part of that, because they'll give lessons like things I wish I knew when I was starting out as a preacher, or if I could do it over again, five things I would work really hard at in preaching. And it's lessons like that, and they're priceless. They're tremendous in helping. And that's not just available at places like Polishing the Pulpit, or not just available just to preachers. It's available to you as teenagers, to all of us at the different ages that we will pass through in our life. And it's of tremendous value for you to be able to ask someone older than you who's had similar experiences to you, where are the landmines in life? You know, what are those danger points that lie ahead of me that I run the risk of stepping on and injuring myself or my life? Now, you can ask someone for that kind of help, or you cannot ask, you cannot talk to people, and you can step on them yourself and learn. I would much rather someone have the opportunity to warn me about those dangers so that I could avoid them for myself. And so that's the T in this idea of getting in touch with life. Talk to people who know. We do very little talking anymore. And I will acknowledge that at all levels, but it's especially bad now, and it's getting worse in our younger years. We have a lot of distractions, a lot of technology, and not that technology is bad, but it keeps us from talking. I can remember times spending maybe a weekend or a week with my grandmother and just talking with her. And can you just imagine the life experience that you can learn about in a week's time or over a weekend talking to someone who's lived in this world, the world that you're just starting out in, who's lived in it for 60, 70, 80 years. We had a lady in the congregation in Morrison, Tennessee that was 100 years old. She reached 100 years old. I mean, she had seen a lot in her life, and it was a joy visiting with her and talking to her about life. That's a valuable resource, young people, at your disposal. People who have every reason to give you the right kind of advice and great advice, if you'll take advantage of it. And just talk to people who know. Notice in the second place, the letter O. Obey. Obey your parents. Now, I talked last week about proactive parenting and the need to teach children to respect law and governance in their life. But I'm talking specifically to the young people right now about this idea of obedience. It will work to your advantage in every case to be obedient and to do what your parents tell you to do. And I'm being serious. Your parents didn't slip me any money to say that tonight. If they want to later, that'll be... No. This is just truth and the reality of life. There's a reason why the Bible says in passages like Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Obey your parents. I heard this one time. It's not a profound thought by in any sense, but it is. It's one of those kinds of things that it's not way up there, but it is profound. If you think of all the people in your life who might give you advice, who might try to direct your life, there is no one as unique as your parent in that regard. They are the only people in the world who will always, in every case, have your best interest in mind. That they will always, in every circumstance, be the ones who want what is absolutely best for you. Now, that will not be the case in every situation with everyone else, because people are inclined to look out also for their own interest. But parents want their children to be in the know and to have the resources and the tools that will help them to be successful. And you can guarantee that they're going to tell you what's right and what's good and what's helpful. And even when it seems extreme. Now, there were times, you know, when my parents wouldn't allow me to do something, that it just seemed extreme. I mean, this, you must certainly just be doing this to hurt me. But I can look back on it now and I can see why. And I appreciate it and I understand it. So even in your mind, when you can't make out exactly why it's beneficial to do what your parents are telling you to do and requiring you to do, just trust them and trust that they have your best interest in mind and always be obedient to their direction and instruction. So we have talk. We have obey. Now the letter U. Kind of make a shift on this one just a little bit. And I want you, when you think of the letter U, think of Y-O-U, as in you. And why is that important? Because you, that's the only person you will ever be. That's the only person you will ever have opportunity to be. And everything that you do in life, good and bad, will add up to be you. My dad gave me, my mom and dad gave me a plaque when I was your age, early, you know, 13 maybe, 12, 13 years old. And it had my name, my last name on it. It said Davis. And the subtitle was Your Name. And it was a poem about the value of taking care of your name and how your name would be with you always. Well, that's kind of where I'm getting at with this idea of you. You are who you are, and that's the only person you will ever be. You can't, it's not like a car. You tear it up, you can get a new one. You can't get a new me or a new you. That's you. Well, why is that important? Well, I love the idea of forgiveness. And I think I'm like anybody else. We need a lot of it. And forgiveness is great, and it's great that you and I have that at our disposal. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, a God who says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. But even in an environment where there is manifold, overflowing, bountiful forgiveness, the fruit of irresponsible behavior will always come to bear. There will be consequences of making choices in life that aren't good and aren't productive ones. And you can live through it, and you can be forgiven for it. But you will always have consequences when you choose to do wrong. And it's great to know that on the front end and understand that, and to have someone look you in the eye and tell you that that's the only person you will ever be. And you can make a mess out of your life in your younger years and have the consequences of it for the remainder of your life. And so it's important to know that. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15, at least the first part of it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. There's something about youth and our vibrance and the energy that we have, and we're invincible, we think, anyway. And a lot of people live their younger years like that. I've got this time, I've got this opportunity, I'm going to live it up, and they don't think about the consequences of their action. What I'm really trying to impress upon you tonight with regard to you is to start right now thinking before you act. Before you do something, think about the consequences of it. What are the consequences going to be? You know, I have in my mind, I know how I think this is going to work out. You know, I'm pretty good, I'm pretty sure this is going to work out, but what if it doesn't? You know, what if my poor choices catch up with me right here? What are the consequences going to be? You will probably avoid a lot of trouble and danger in life if you'll think about the consequences at the outset. And that will have a direct impact on you and what your life will be. Now, again, I want to emphasize the value of forgiveness, because we can always be forgiven of the wrongs that we commit. But God has never, ever promised us that He will remove the consequences of our foolish behavior. And we may have to live with some things and have a difficult life in some cases, even though we've been forgiven, because of foolish choices early on in life. So the you. Let's add to that the letter C. Maybe obvious, maybe not so obvious, but that just deserves to stand for Christian. I would encourage you to become a Christian and to be a good one. A good one in the sight of God. Have interest in what God has to say about your young life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, Solomon wrote, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" Remember now your Creator in your youth and develop a life now. Start developing a life now that will make it easy for you to be a godly person. Don't start out going in the other direction, going away from God, because then later in life, if you wake up, you have a much longer journey to get back to Him. Run with God, not away from Him or against His will. Know and be interested in. That, I'm telling you, that this is like me telling you tonight, I'm going to put a certain amount of money in a bank account for you, and by the time you get to such and such age, you won't have to worry about anything. You will be taken care of. This kind of advice from God's Word is even more valuable than that. If you start now being interested in what God has to say about your life and trying to live it now, it will pay dividends beyond measure in your later years. So have an interest in what God says about your young life. But also, relative to being a Christian, be a leader among your church peers. In our different age groups, we have a decent group of, and I don't mean decent in a personal sense, but number-wise. You know, some congregations just have one teenager. You know, that's kind of hard to have a youth group with one teenager. But we've got good numbers, and even in our younger ages, we've got good numbers. And so you have a good peer group among your Christian brothers and sisters. And I would encourage you to be a leader among your church peers. To be one who encourages everyone else to do things that are productive from a spiritual perspective. Encourage godly behavior among your peers. Be like a Joshua and a Caleb. If you think about the wilderness wandering years, the ones who survived the 20-year-old and upwards didn't, except for two, Joshua and Caleb. And so those men were very young, relatively speaking, 20 years young. That's not far from where you're at. And think about that young age in an environment of all of those Israelite people and how they were able to be interested in what God had to say about their young lives and living in a way so that when it came time for the wanderings and God determining who was going to go to the promised land, it was Joshua and Caleb out of that older group. So be a leader. Those men were leaders at very young ages, and you can be too. You don't have to be 20. You don't have to be 18. Just among your peer group, be one who stands out as one who's going to encourage the other kids your age to do things that are right and good and to be involved and supportive of one another. There are enough people in this world who are Christian in name only. We don't need any more of those. What we need is young people today who have conviction and who are serious about being the kind of people God wants them to be. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. There is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are eventually going. Use your time, talent, and ability, your youth, your energy right now to be a Christian and to be a good one." And then the H. Help. I wish someone had told me at a very young age to be open-minded enough to recognize help from others when it presents itself. The tendency is to push back and say, "Why are you meddling in my life?" That's the tendency. Why can't I just have my space? Why, you're being overbearing in my life. I can handle this by myself. Now, that's an attitude and mindset, typically, that's not recognizing help when it presents itself. And the Bible charges good and godly people to come to the aid of others when they see them in danger. Jude 22 and 23, on some have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. If somebody was trying to pull you out of danger, could you recognize it as such, or would you recognize it as some kind of threat to your privacy and your personal life? Proverbs 3 and verse 11 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction." Sometimes that chastening, that corrective help, comes in the form of parents. They may come in the form of elders in a congregation. It may come in the form of a preacher preaching a sermon entitled, "Get in Touch with Life." It can come from all different places. But what will be of value to you in your young life is to get to the point where you can recognize help as that help and not a threat to you. If people confront you about something, listen. Recognize it as an effort to help you to be better and to do right. Pride will keep us from doing that. And teenagers, young people are not exempt from pride. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 said, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." When I look back on my life in my young years, I doubt my experience, my reflection would be much different than anyone else in this assembly who has lived a while and who has had some experience in life. I'm sure if you would take the time to talk to your parents, they would tell you some of the same things. And they could offer to you tremendous advice to help you guide your life in a way that would be painless and productive. Get in touch with life. Talk to people who know. Obey your parents. You, that's the only person you'll ever be. C, be a Christian and be a good one. H, help. Recognize help when people try to extend it to you. Are you really in touch with life tonight in a way that has you on the path towards success? I feel like these five principles would have tremendous value if you would just consider them and think about the value of these things from life's lessons learned from some folks that have lived in this world just a little bit longer than you have. And I hope and pray that you'll consider these things and weigh them for their value. And I hope that when you get to the end of your life, you don't look back and say, "I wish I had listened, and I wish I had taken stock in the advice and the help that people have tried to give me along the way." Tonight we extend the Lord's invitation to any who are present who've never obeyed the gospel. Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins, you can become a Christian tonight. You can work on being a good one. A good one. One who is devoted and committed to the God of heaven and living your life in a way that would bring glory to Him. Maybe that's your need. We're going to sing a song to encourage. You may have another need that we could assist you with tonight. Whatever that need might be, if you'll let it be known, we'll help in whatever way we can as we stand and sing.